What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Fighting for those that inspire.
Please help WEEI and NESN strike out cancer. Please call 877-738-1234 to make a gift.
Now, back to Afternoons and the WEEI NESN Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
WEEI Afternoons back here live at Fenway Park. WEEI NESN Jimmy Fund Telethon. That toll-free number, not the only way you can donate. You can also go online, www.jimmyfund.org, or text KCANCER to 56512. Nick?
Andy, I just wanted to add this little thing. Brock Holt, obviously, who just joined us and was so kind as one of the co-chairs of the Jimmy Fund Telethon. His place was taken momentarily by our pal, Tom Karen from NESN. And they were just having a how big was your donation off between each other.
Felt like Tom won.
Tom most definitely won. The best part is he got a donation for $406, which shouldn't be lost on most Red Sox fans. That was Ted Williams' average, the last person to hit over 400. These little details right here, these are the things that matter in the telethon. Thank you, Tom. You're the best.
That was awesome. So I guess Brock has to get back to work.
You're on notice, Holt.
Joining us here now on WEEI Afternoons is James Jim Seeky. Nailed it.
Yeah, nailed it. Worried about that one all day.
I was worried about it, and no behind the scenes, but I think my pronunciation was actually wrong. That's why I asked James before we went on the air. Dr. Paul Richardson from Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Appreciate you joining us today. How are you?
Thanks for having us.
So, Jim, tell us a little bit about your story, because you have a unique one. You're a local guy who moved away and then had to basically come back because you wanted to be at Dana-Farber.
That's right. I was a routine physical down in Atlanta at the ripe old age of 53. Mm-hmm. Went away on vacation, came up to visit my mom on the Cape, and got back, and there was a answering machine recording saying, we've made an appointment for you for some imaging to investigate the fistules in your chest bones and your rib cage. And I didn't know what a fistule was.
Same here.
It's not good. It's basically a cavity in your bone, and it's one of the byproducts of cancer of the blood plasma. It's amazing how much you fight that. It was a physician's assistant that told me, and she had to be wrong, right? Come
right.
on
right.
There's no way I have cancer. And but we were able to very quickly get an appointment at Dana-Farber. Less than 30 days later, we were at Dana-Farber and met Dr. Richardson, and he had suggested a course of treatment, and several courses of treatment, but one he felt would fit my case the best. And we went down to Emory, my wife and I, and met the doctors down there, and it was a lot more of a grim circumstance. The treatment plan didn't seem to – it might have cured cancer, but it didn't encourage life. That's something you got to think about. You know, how are you going to be able to keep doing the things you want to do?
Well, thank you, Jim. I think the point is that Jim came to see us with a diagnosis of myeloma, multiple myeloma, and the lesions he's reporting in his bones are so-called lytic lesions. They described on the phone message to you as, you know, fistules, but they're called lytic lesions, and that's because the myeloma attacks the bone and punches out holes in it. Despite facing that challenge, Jim was full of what you can sense right here, beautiful optimism. His wife Wendy was with him, and we recommended a strategy that we developed at Dana-Farber, which was kind of Army, Navy, and Air Force. Revlimid, bortezomib, lenalidomide, bortezomib, one's called Revlimid, one's called Velcade, and dexamethasone. So it's kind of Army, Navy, and Air Force. Mm-hmm. And it worked very well for Jim. And back then, we were looking to the future. And what we were thinking, Andy, was that in a patient like Jim, who had such an incredibly busy life, but very successful businessman, who really wanted to continue to work and a lovely family, could you just use these three drugs alone to get him into remission with a little help from a drug called Zometa as well, which is kind of like a Coast Guard? And putting that together, would that get him where he needed to be? And I think my colleagues at Emory had a more aggressive view. They wanted to kind of take him to stem cell transplant very early, expose him to very toxic chemotherapy with stem cell support, which undoubtedly works but carries with it lots of side effects, both acute and long-term, that can compromise not only quality of life, but most importantly can have consequences later, in not least of which including secondary cancers, and most importantly that unfortunately myeloma, certainly at that time, was not curable. So we knew it would come back. And the question is, if it came back, what would it look like? And what we were beginning to learn at Dana-Farber was that if it comes back after exposure to lots of toxic chemotherapy, its genetics change and it becomes actually almost more aggressive. So we have to be very thoughtful strategically about how we do this. And it's fantastic to be here learning about baseball, mm-hmm. because obviously it's an enormously strategic game. And the treatment of multiple myeloma is like that. It's extremely strategic, and now our patients are living 10, 15, even 20 and 25 years. We have to think strategically. In the old days, we were lucky if people lived 3 or 5. Now we're looking at that long-term view. So for Jim, it was very important to sort of frame what worked for him.
And may I ask you, when it comes to a diagnosis and a treatment plan, yeah. like you were talking about,
right.
How often would you say you get a patient and you sort of go with like, well, this has worked for us with people with your particular, your illness or what you need, versus like this more sort of like unique tailored plan that you've come up with for Jim? How often would you say you have to toggle between the two?
Well, pretty much now it's standard. I mean, what we were doing then was kind of very different and okay. very cutting edge.
Yep.
And now it's actually been recognized that this tailored approach to treatment is the way forward. And in fact,
that's great.
Just 2 weeks ago in the New England Journal, there was a study from our French partners confirming our hypothesis that one size does not fit all, that you can actually tailor treatment. And we had the privilege of writing the editorial for the New England Journal at the request wow. of the New England Journal, where we described exactly kind of Jim's journey, saying that, you know, multiple myeloma is many different diseases under one tent. Mm-hmm. And in that context, one size clearly does not fit all. And we now have the toolbox, thanks to all the research, to be able to go after Jim's disease in a highly tailored fashion. And I'd love him to share with you his journey, because it kind of speaks for itself, actually. So, Jim, do you want to say kind of how this was and what happened?
Well, I think there's a couple things that's very interesting. I take a lot of pills every day as part of the treatment. You can imagine it's a cocktail of things. Most of it is to preserve what I like to do. I'm active. I work still. I have to have good cognitive function. I have to be able to speak. I have to be comfortable in social situations. I like the use of my hands and my feet. And neuropathy is a big byproduct of the treatment plan. Everything was addressed by the full treatment.
Wow.
And there became a time when we started off with the treatment plan was actually called RVD Light, and it's
like Miller Light.
Miller Light, it kind of the same thing.
Yeah. RVD Heavy sounds pretty.
Well, to be honest, we called it the RVD Classic. Is actually
classic. Okay.
And we thought we would offer Jim RVD Light, but to be fair, it was actually Premium Light.
Oh, very
okay.
Craftsman, I like that.
Exactly. So the idea is that, you know, we make it fun as opposed to an ordeal. So,
well, after several months, and I went into, you know, showed signs of good remission. I mean, some of the numbers came down by a factor of more than 10 numbers that you didn't. I don't need to go into the blood chemistry of it. I don't know that I understand it, but they were well within the normal range. But I was finding myself cognitively impaired. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a real thing. Chemo fog, it's a real thing. And I brought it up to Dr. Richardson, and he was able to drop one of the key drugs, and it improved my lot in life. And I think that's very important. You got to be comfortable in your own skin all day long. And, you know, there's a lot of expectations. I'm a young guy.
You keep mentioning living and the one of the treatments, what didn't seem like it was going to allow you to live the way you wanted. I was reading in your bio that you're a musician.
Oh, my goodness.
Playing a band, so I'm sure that was part of that.
And on the Cape, no less.
I can't prove that in a court of law.
Are you good?
Yeah, adequate. I'll do it till it comes along.
Yeah, music's incredibly important. I'm married into a whole family of musicians as well. And, you know, my father had... Parkinson's, and the only way he was truly able to communicate toward the end of life is you can always sing. He couldn't speak very well, but you can still sing. Wow. So music, the role music plays in therapy and therapeutics as well is incredibly important. And I just want to ask, how important do you see, you know, obviously it's very important, the whole presentation that Dana-Farber does as well, everything you take care of the family and finding out, and then in return, like the patient, like he's obviously doing his work, letting you know what works for him, what doesn't. He's taking good care of himself and playing music. So you're doing everything you can to improve,
yes,
while you guys are doing everything you can to improve his whole lot as well.
Well, I think the thing is, Nick, that Jim has never been in hospital throughout his whole 8-year journey.
Wow.
He's tolerated treatments well. We've adjusted doses. We've actually not had to stop anything completely. We've been able to dial things up and dial things down. So when you use rational combination therapies, you can use less of each to make more, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And so these are biologic therapies. They're not chemotherapies. They're biologic therapies. And he's on immune treatment because the Revlimid is an immune therapy. So is actually the Velcade. And the steroid has immune effects as well. But we've minimized that because long-term steroids are a bear. You only have to ask a person's spouse and they'll tell you that. His anti-resorptive treatment for his bones, where he had these nasty lytic lesions, we keep that going. So we kind of tailor it to suit him and keep him in remission for as long as possible. And the beautiful thing is that he's now 8 years into his journey. We now actually have 20 new drugs in total for myeloma. So he's only had two of 20.
Wow.
So when the disease will, unfortunately, we know it may well come back. When it does come back, we've got 18 more things to go to. And the why that's so strategically important is because if we had given him high-dose melphalan, as we traditionally used to do 15, 20 years ago, great initially, but you pay later.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, in Jim's case, we haven't had to do that. We've collected his stem cells. We got them in case we ever need them in the future. But the beautiful thing is we've lined him up for all these exciting new treatments in the long term. Now, Nick, it's very important for the audience to appreciate that in myeloma, there are increasing numbers of patients like Jim who are doing really well. Unfortunately, it's a little bit of a tale of two cities. Myeloma still remains a very substantial challenge for a significant number of our patients where it doesn't behave as well as Jim's disease has. And there is our major focus of research. How can we do better for those patients, and about a third of our total number, in whom really the disease remains a monster? And that's where we're fighting tooth and claw to make further progress. But Jim is a sort of shining example of, you know, looking to the future. And when I had the privilege of meeting Jim when he came to see me 8 years ago, you know, Emory were going in one direction. We were saying, guys, maybe we can do this differently. And Jim was so kind to say to us, you know, guys, I'm going to follow your strategy, and we're here today.
And you mentioned that research, and that's why we need as many people as possible to donate, even if it's $1, $5, it all adds up if we do it as a group. K-Cancer to 56512 is one way to do it. Dr. Richardson, I want to thank you because he made it very simple. In the back of my head, you were using a lot of big words. All I heard was Army, Air Force, Navy. You said there's other treatments. I'm thinking, well, we got Space Force. The Marines are ready. Marines, we got all huge. We're always ready.
Coast Guard thrown in there.
Coast
as well.
Guard was thrown in there. And Jim, we wish you good luck and with your music and with everything you got going on.
If I could, real quick, I want to thank the Dr. Ward.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
And Hannah at Cape Cod Hospital and
great people.
Mary and Debbie and Nicole and all of them that are Kevin and all of them there taking care of me every week.
Awesome. Jim Seeky, Dr. Richardson, we appreciate you stopping by and explaining your story. Thank you. We'll be right back here on WEEI Afternoons at the WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Telethon.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.